Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Today, as we begin to look at Zechariah chapter 14, we've come to the last chapter in this book. The last of these prophecies that reach all the way into the millennial kingdom of Christ, all the way into eternity. In the first 13 chapters of this book, we have watched as history has unfolded before us hundreds of years before it ever happened. And we have also seen how in a future day, the Lord will restore those in the nation of Israel who will believe. How a remnant from that nation will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, their Messiah. And so by faith, they will come to Him as their Savior or their salvation. And as we come to chapter 14, we are also coming to the end of the history of the world. We're coming to the dawn of a new day, the dawn of eternity, the day when Jesus Christ will rule and reign forever, a day that is perhaps closer than we might think. We're living in a time when events are moving rapidly towards the end of the day of man, and we are moving towards the day of the Lord. So as we begin this chapter, we find ourselves looking into the future, looking at a time when a man who is called a foolish shepherd, a worthless shepherd in Zechariah chapter 11, will rule this world. A man who many will believe is their Savior, because he will bring the problems of this world under control. He'll bring stability to this world. But he will be a man who will be energized by Satan himself. A man whom we sometimes refer to as the Antichrist. And we are told in Daniel chapter 9 that he will restore worship in the temple in Jerusalem, a temple that has not yet been built, but a temple that will be built. And so he will accomplish what the people in the nation of Israel have been unable to accomplish. So many in that nation, in fact, many throughout the world, will think that he is the one to follow. They will be fooled by him, for he will be like a wolf in sheep's clothing. And we're told that the nation of Israel will agree to a 7-year treaty with him. The nation will be under his protection. But after 3.5 years, he will break that treaty, and he will go into the temple in Jerusalem, and he will demand that the people worship him and him alone. But the people will refuse. And so he will gather the armies from the nations of the earth, we are told in Zechariah chapter 12. Armies from the north and the south, armies from the east and from the west. And he will gather them in order that they might crush the nation of Israel. Israel will be under siege. But behold, it says in verse 1, of Zechariah chapter 14. Pay close attention to these words as God unfolds this truth to us. The day of man is coming to an end. The day of the Lord is at hand. The day when he will unleash his power against those who have come against his people. A day of judgment for those who reject his offer of salvation through his Son. But that day will begin when things look like they are about to fall apart. A day when defeat seems imminent. A day, it says in verse 1, when the city of Jerusalem will be overrun, and the spoil, shalal in Hebrew, the wealth and the riches, anything, everything of value, military equipment, high-tech hardware, all of it will be taken from the people in Jerusalem. They will be left with nothing. And that spoil, we are told, will be divided among the nations, even while those armies are still among the people in Jerusalem. So the people in Jerusalem will be helpless. For I will gather all of the nations to battle against Jerusalem, the Lord says in verse 2. I will use those wicked men, and I will bring them among you. I will allow them to overrun you in order to purge your sin, in order to bring you to myself, so that you will not continue in your unbelief. It is I who have done this, that you might turn to me and cry out to me in prayer. Perhaps there's a lesson here for all of us. Many times prayer, genuine prayer, real prayer, heartfelt prayer is the last thing that we do, when in fact it is the first thing that we need to do for us and for our nation. And so the Lord says, the city of Jerusalem will be captured. And your homes will be plundered and trashed. And your women will be assaulted and raped. And half of the people in the city will be exiled. Golah in Hebrew. They will be taken away into captivity. A time that Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 7 calls the time of Jacob's distress. But it further says here in verse 2 that the rest of the people in the city, they will not be cut off from the city. They will remain there. And the instruments behind all of these things, we are told in Revelation 16:13, will be three unclean spirits, three demons, who will be instruments of Satan, who will indwell the Antichrist, and who will indwell a false prophet of a false religion. Certainly that will be an unholy trinity. They will be used against Israel. Then it says in verse 3, just when things look like all is lost, just when things could not get any worse, says the Lord Jesus Christ will go forth. He will come down from the glory of heaven, and the people will see him coming in the clouds, we are told in Daniel chapter 7, and in Zechariah chapter 12, and in Revelation chapter 1, and the people will weep and they will mourn. Because the one that they nailed to the cross is the only one who can save them. The only one. How many people today don't understand that he is the only one who can save their souls? And those of us who have already gone home to be with the Lord in heaven, when Jesus returns, when he returns to this earth, on that day, we will be following behind him. We will be with him, we're told in Revelation 19, verse 14. And it says he will be clothed in a red garment, because that garment will be stained. It'll be stained with the blood of those who are his enemies. He will come in judgment with the fierce wrath of God. He will come, we are told, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will fight against those nations. And it says the birds of the air will eat their decaying flesh. He will come to wage war as when he fights in a day of battle. That will not be a pleasant day on this earth. And in that day, it says in verse 4, when he descends to this earth, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is facing towards Jerusalem, just east of Jerusalem, in the very place where he ascended back into heaven the first time that he was here, we're told in Acts 1:12. And then there will be a tremendous earthquake, it says in Revelation 16:18. There will be flashes of lightning. There will be roars of thunder. And the city of Jerusalem will be split into three parts. And the Mount of Olives will be split into two parts. That mountain will split right down the middle. And so there will be a valley. A valley will be created by that event, a valley running from the east to the west, a very large valley, it says, when half of that mountain moves towards the north and the other half of that mountain moves towards the south. Perhaps that is even the same valley that is described in Joel chapter 3, where the nations of the world will be judged by the Lord. So where there was one mountain, well, there will be two mountains. And the Lord tells his people in verse 5, this is your way to escape from the city of Jerusalem. So you will flee by way of that valley in the middle of my mountains, where the valley of the mountains will reach toward Atzah, a word which means near. Follow the valley. It will lead you to the place of safety, near to the city of Jerusalem. Yes, you will flee, and so you will escape harm. Just as you fled before the earthquake, rash in Hebrew, before the rumbling, and the shaking and the trembling in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. So Zechariah continues in verse 5 and says, take heart. The Lord, my God, will come to this earth, and all of his holy ones will be with him. Kadosh in Hebrew. Those who have been set apart by him. those who belong to him. As we're told in Colossians 3:4, where it says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then we will also be revealed with him in glory. And it will come about in that day, it says in verse 6, that there will be no light, or in Hebrew, there'll be no dawn. There'll be no daylight. There will be no sunlight. The luminaries, the sun and the moon and the stars will dwindle, it says. Kafa. They will become hidden and fade away from view. It will be dark all of the time. So, it says, it will be a unique day. A unique day which will only be known and understood in its fullness by the Lord. Neither will there be day or night. But it will come about, it says in verse 7, that at evening time, areb in Hebrew, at twilight, the time when Jesus breathed his last breath on the cross, there will be light. A new day will dawn, as we're told in Malachi 4:2, where it says, the sun of righteousness will arise with healing in its wings. The light of the glory of Christ will shine. It will light up the world. It will come about in that day, it says in verse 8, that living waters, high in Hebrew, a spring, will come gushing out of the ground, and it will flow out of Jerusalem, and half of those waters will flow to the Eastern Sea, to the Dead Sea, and the other half of those waters will flow towards the Western Sea, towards the Mediterranean. So it will be just as fruitful in the summer as it will be in the winter. There will be a continual supply of water year round. So we are told in Isaiah chapter 35, the desert will blossom like a rose. And it says in verse 9, the Lord will be king over all of the earth in that day, not just in Jerusalem, not just in Israel. The Lord will be the one, the only one, from whom all blessings will flow. And so we will be blessed in him. In his name, forever.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.